Turns out two wheels can take you a long way. I'm WBBM News Radio's Rob Hart, and this week we talk to Trevor Clark, Executive Director of Working Bike Chicago. It's an organization that takes your old bike and finds a myriad of uses for it. Volunteers learn valuable skills as they refurbish your bike to be resold to someone who needs transportation, or they're packed up and shipped to other continents, where they're a lifeline to women who fix them and for the people who use the bikes to get around. That old bike may be worth some money, but it can be worth so much more. This week on At Issue. Trevor Clark, Executive Director, Working Bikes Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on At Issue.
Thank you for having me.
Now, let's explain, what is Working Bikes Chicago?
Working Bikes is a 27-year-old nonprofit organization. We're down in Little Village, right across from Pilsen. We collect used bikes, and we try to find the best possible home for everyone that we get.
Now, you're not the founder of the organization. You came in as a volunteer. So, as a volunteer for Working Bikes Chicago, what brought you into the organization, and why'd you stick around?
The mission really resonated with me. So back in 2011, I was introduced to Working Bikes when I was part of an organization that did a group volunteer activity there. So we still bring groups of volunteers in, put them to work, and immediately I knew that I could have an impact when I was working at Working Bikes. So I came in, I think that first day we were prepping bikes for shipment. And I'll explain that in a minute. But just earlier today, I hosted another group of volunteers who came in, prep bikes for shipment. So prepping bikes means taking the pedals off and getting them ready to be packed into shipping containers to go to other people who use them. So stepping back a bit, Working Bikes collects 13,000 bikes every year. We try to find the best home for every single one of them, and 10,000 of those bikes go to partners in Africa and Central America. And we found that the best way to get the bikes over there are to put them in 40-foot shipping containers. We can fit between 500 and 600 bikes in every shipping container, and every single one of those bikes has to have the pedals taken off and front wheel removed, put next to the frame, packed in one by one. So there's just a ton of labor that needs to happen to efficiently pack the container, and that's what groups of volunteers can do. So that was my introduction. I walked into the place. It's three stories of used bicycles. There's probably 5,000 bikes in the building at any given time. I was a bike guy riding around, didn't know much about bikes, but from working on them for a shipment and then coming back for our regular volunteer shifts. So we still have an active volunteer program. Volunteers come in, they can learn bicycle mechanics. The bikes that they learn on are donated to people who need them and can't afford them around Chicago. So I started coming to a regular volunteer shift, learn how to fix up a Schwinn Varsity, got to see that Schwinn Varsity given to somebody who needed it. And, you know, I was picking up skills. We feed volunteers. So back then I was eating pretty well, and we're getting bikes out to people who need them. Plus it's a great community. So I became a regular volunteer and just kept hanging around, getting more involved, joined the board, and for about 6 years now, I've been on staff as executive director.
Of these thousands of bikes that come into your warehouse in Little Village, you mentioned, you know, tens of thousands of bikes, a little over 10,000 bikes. Do they all come from the Chicago area, or do they come from just around the country?
Good question. So we'll travel to get bikes. We have a great network of collection partners around Chicago. So some local bike shops, some individuals in the Chicagoland area. So Cook and Collar counties. If you can't get a bike to our warehouse at 2434 Southwestern, you can drop it off with one of our collection partners. When their space is full, we'll go and pick up from them. And then we have some regular partners in Madison, Fort Wayne, Milwaukee. You know, we'll travel up to 6 hours for enough bikes. We have a box truck that can hold about 100 if you pack it tightly. So we have a great volunteer driver or two who'll help make those trips to bring the bikes back here.
Now, even though you weren't present for the creation of Working Bikes Chicago in 1999, what was the thinking
amongst the founders when this started? When, how did they realize there was a need for this particular organization?
Yeah, thanks. The founders are great people, and I can answer this relatively well, not as well as they could, of course, because they're still around. They're still active volunteers with the organization. So they combined a few things, a sense of volunteerism and the impact you could have as a volunteer has been core to Working Bikes throughout, and an efficient use of resources. So they had some experiences in Central America through the Peace Corps and some other volunteering work down there, and they noticed the lack of resources in Guatemala. Didn't see many bikes down there. At the same time, up here, they see the scrap trucks going down the alleys filled with bicycles, going to the scrapyard, having those bicycles melted down. So they paired that lack of resources in the south with an abundance of resources that weren't being well used up here, and started collecting bikes, sometimes literally from the back of scrap trucks. In Working Bikes lore, there's a story that I've seen the mugshot, so I know it's true, of the founder being arrested for hanging out outside of a scrapyard, taking bikes from the scrappers before they could go in and be melted down. So trying to reclaim that value, pile them up here, and then send containers down to Guatemala, Nicaragua. And at this point, we have most of our partnerships in Africa, but still shipped to El Salvador, a longtime partner down there.
Now, I feel like my own experience can help illustrate the Working Bikes journey. And that is, 2 years ago, I would ride my bike to the train, and the bike that I was using was a bike that my father-in-law had purchased off of QVC in the 90s and then never used. So when he moved from his home to a home for to a senior house up in Wisconsin, he said, "Do you want my bike? I never used it." And I'm like, "Sure, I'll use your bike." And so I used that to get to the train, and it helped while away the time during COVID. And then in the summer of 2024, the spokes gave out on one of the wheels from just constant usage. And probably it got more usage than any QVC purchased bike ever would have. And it went to a bike store in the northwest suburbs, and the repair bill was comparable to the price of a new bike. And so the salesperson said, this is going to go to an organization that'll be refurbished, and then either someone will use it in Chicago or it'll be sent someplace else in the world. This is August of 2024. Mm-hmm. What happened to that QVC bike once it went to Working Bikes? How do you refurbish these bicycles? And then you mentioned that there are some partners in the Global South that get some of the bikes, but some of them are used by people in Chicago. So what happens to a bike after you're done with it?
Oh, great, great questions. When a bike comes to Working Bikes, so we would probably pick it up from the collection partner who collected it on our behalf. There's a great map of them up on our website, workingbikes.org. We'll fill up the truck, bring it to our loading dock. As we're unloading the bike, we're thinking about where would this bike be best used. And our mission is to strengthen local and global communities by giving old bikes new life as tools of self-determination. So we're looking at the bike and thinking, how is this bike best going to serve somebody? If the tires on that QVC bike were 35 millimeters or smaller, we're probably thinking that's going to stay in Chicago. If it's a fat-tired bike, like a mountain bike tire, most likely that's going to be useful in Sierra Leone, Malawi, Lesotho, Uganda. It'll stay on our loading dock, packed up into a shipping container and sent abroad. And now, we don't refurbish everything that comes to us. So when a bike comes in, if we identify it as most useful for an international partner, it stays as is. When we pack up shipping containers, we take the pedals off, take the front wheel off, and pack the bike in. We want it to be refurbishable, but not refurbished, because our partners abroad are very skilled mechanics, and they have the tools and the knowledge to be able to fix the bikes up themselves. So we send them the raw materials. We'll send used parts in addition to the bike frame, so they have everything they need to fix up the bike. And then they put the labor in, get the bike out to their community. If we decide it's a good bike to stay local, then it's going to enter our cycle of power workflow. So cycle of power is what we call our local donation program. We have a volunteer shop. We have volunteer sessions Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday. And at those volunteer sessions, if you don't know anything about bikes, no problem. We'll pair you with somebody who knows a little bit more. We have a great volunteer capacity building mechanic, Luna. She'll teach you how to fix a bike, and we'll work through that bike. We have a checklist, make sure everything on it is functional, going to serve somebody, get it in nice shape, and that will eventually go to a donation partner. And I'd be happy to talk about that process.
Now, before we continue, this is also, as a volunteer, this is a great way for you to pick up a little or a lot of mechanical know-how. Maybe when you're going in, you just know the round things are the wheels, but by the time you're done, you could be an expert on brakes and lubricating chains and finding trouble spots on bikes, whether it's at working bikes or in your own home.
Absolutely. Or helping kids in the neighborhood, adults in the neighborhood. You don't have to know anything to come in. And if you want to learn, we want to know that as volunteers so we can pair you with somebody who is happy to pass on those skills. We have some dedicated classes. Right now it's Wednesday afternoons where Allison will run a training class and we'll work through the different bearing systems on a bike, what you need to know to refurbish it. Or if you just want to come in and take whatever's coming up next. We can teach you how to fix a flat, how to lubricate the chain, as you said, keep the bike in good condition so it doesn't require a full overhaul. Pretty much anything you would like to learn about a bike can be taught at Working Bikes and is on a regular basis. Our space is a really great space to learn, but we also have some community partners, whether it's rides like a ride that's going to happen on Sunday the 12th in Inglewood with our partner Think Outside the Block. We need people who can fix bikes in a parking lot there or at our partner Wyman, the bike box out at 13th and Pulaski. There's a shipping container where we'll provide some resources to the North Lawndale community, get bikes working out there. Runs the full scope from a shop to street repairs. It's all helpful, and it's all keeping people rolling.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. We are talking with Trevor Clark, who is the executive director of Working Bike Chicago, about his organization. And you mentioned before about how the bikes that are sent overseas are tools of economic self-determination. But that could also be, you could say the same for Chicago as well. How meaningful is a bike for someone who really needs to get from point A to point B?
Yeah, great question. And it's increasingly directly meaningful, right? So ever since the beginning of our Cycle of Power program, we've been doing local donations for most of Working Bike's history, and I feel like really ramped it up in the last 10 years. And we would talk about it, the bike will get you to work, right, or get you to medical appointments, places you need to be around the community. And more recently, the bike is literally work. So people are doing food delivery on bikes that they receive through Working Bikes. So it is a direct means of employment. And we hear the stories of people we donate bikes to. So we partner with groups like the VA or Refugee One, helping refugees get resettled, transitional housing facilities or social service agencies, pretty much any organization that works with a vulnerable population who needs transportation, couldn't afford it on their own, can send a referral to us and we'll get their client or person they send over a bike, a lock, a helmet, a set of lights, and then we'll do a free year's worth of service on that. So we have great volunteers and an awesome service department that will make sure that bike stays rolling. So when we donate the bike, we don't want it to be a one-off transaction like good luck. We want them to know you can come back. We can make sure those brake pads are replaced when you wear through them, or if you need new tires, we can help you out with that. Or if you'd like to learn how to fix that bike up yourself, you can come back and volunteer. So we get folks who receive the bike, come back for a checkup a month later and hear how they're using it to get to work or how they've been doing Uber Eats and made some money. And we get some stories of moving from transitional housing into more secure housing. We've had some people who received a donation bike and are still volunteers at Working Bikes 5 years later. So really nice trajectory, because when you have a bike, your world gets a little bit bigger. You can access more around Chicago, whether it's coming back to Working Bikes or to employment, being more connected to the community. So we're really fortunate that we get to see those stories all the time.
And you mentioned on the subject of economic empowerment, you talked about a couple of minutes ago about how the bikes that go overseas, they're not really reconditioned in Chicago. They're just put in the shipping container and sent to their destination. And there's a reason why.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, part of the reason is a 3-month journey on a carrier ship and rail and truck could do a lot of damage to a bike that's already repaired. So they'd probably need to repair it anyway. But in the communities that it goes to, like earlier today, I was inside a shipping container that will go to the Rubuguri shop, which is outside of the Bwindi impenetrable forest in southwest Uganda. There is not a ton of economic activity there outside of growing tea, coffee, and then some tourism. So when we send bikes to Mari Serena and the other 6 mechanics at that shop, we're giving them the raw materials that then they can put some work into and receive an income from. So those 7 ladies, I think every one of them has children. The money that they earn by fixing the bikes and selling them to some of the workers at surrounding tea plantations, for example, that income is paying school fees for their kids. So they're able to send their kids to school. They could have a better life. And then the people who are using the bikes are able to get to the tea plantation, or their kids are able to get to a school that's a little bit farther away. So by seeding the community there with the material that could have been waste in Chicago, we're enabling livelihoods for these 7 mechanics and then all the benefits of having transportation for all the people that they're able to serve.
Yeah, what is bike infrastructure like overseas? Because I think it's a work in progress in Chicago, and we live in a city and also in a country that is very much designed around the idea of you need a car to get somewhere. And then you go into some other countries and the economic model is completely different. And the bicycle is the way to get to where you need to go. So outside of making a difference for the people who are refurbishing these bikes and providing economic stimulus to them, how transformative are these bikes once they get to people who need them in other countries?
Yeah, I'm happy that I can speak from experience in answering that question. So last year I got to visit some partners in Malawi and in Uganda, and I went in with that question in mind, and I was thinking of, you know, metrics like how long did this trip take before you had the bike and how long does it take now? And what I found was that people just had to get from point A to point B. And with a bike, they were able to do that more. So they weren't tracking time. They're not pulling out a cell phone to see what time they started, what time they stopped. It just added more to their day. So it takes about a third of the time if you're on a bike versus walking. And for people out in Mbale, Uganda, they would be walking to a field to tend some chili peppers that they were growing and walking home. And maybe they could do it and not have time to do whatever else they needed to do to support their family at the end of a day. With a bicycle, they could visit that field and another field, grow more chili, which would make more money, which would help their family. So with farmers, we were finding it was profoundly impactful. It was actually helping them maintain their households. Healthcare workers are another big recipient group of bikes that go to our partners abroad. And with the healthcare workers, they were telling us stories of making their rounds. So there was a nice healthcare structure in Uganda in particular, I'm thinking of, where village healthcare teams are the first line of information spreading and sensitization for any diseases that pop up. So they have a certain number of villages that they, as volunteers, are going around to check in with, to spread information, see if there's anything they need to report back to a central agency. And they would have to do that work on foot. Once they had bicycles, they could either increase the number of villages by about three that they were able to serve, or check in with people three times more. And when it was people who were working in health, like domestic violence health, being able to see people weekly instead of monthly meant a much stronger connection, a much less risk of harm for the people they were serving. So they would love more bicycles. That's the overwhelming takeaway. Like, yes, these are great. Please give us more. So we're working all the time to increase the collections that we can get so we can send more bikes to our partners abroad.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Rob Hart, and we're talking with Trevor Clark, Executive Director of Working Bike Chicago, an organization that will take your old bike and do good with it on multiple points of its journey. There's also a much larger story to be told about sustainability in the Working Bike Chicago story, and that is how it began in the 90s with people noticing, well, geez, there's a lot of bikes on these on these scrap metal trucks. They're going to be melted down for just a couple of bucks when they could be doing so much good for actual people. That bike's ride, pun intended, is not over. Mm-hmm. And we have just so much stuff in our lives, in our garages, in our basements, in our closets, that it's not just bikes. We're just holding on to so much stuff that can be so much useful to other people. And right now they're just, you know, gathering dust somewhere.
It's true. And we're really lucky to be in Chicago, which has not only working bikes, but a really strong reuse and circular economy community. So there's places like the waste shed, where if you have paper you're not using, or art supplies, or you can check their website, a lot of other materials could be put to use through them. We used to have the Rebuilding Exchange, which would do that. We have the Plant and Plant Chicago, these other groups that are thinking of that idea that there's stuff going unused. Let's put it to use, make sure, you know, we don't need to produce new things all the time. There's some value in using the old. It's better for the environment to reuse than to have the new production. And I feel like Chicago in particular versus some other cities just has that ethos. So you can find other groups out there that are doing it. And we certainly try to at Working Bikes too. So we'll get things that aren't necessarily bicycles, and if we can't use them or our partners can't use them, we'll try to direct people, potential donors, to the right resource.
And there's also just a robust biking community in this city. And maybe this is entirely anecdotal, but how has that evolved in the 15 years since you became a volunteer for Working Bike Chicago? Because there are groups that advocate on behalf of bicyclists, either people who do it for fun or do it because they ride their bike to work, the Active Transportation Alliance, sure, of course. And how does the presence of organizations that speak on behalf of bicyclists and ensures that community exists and makes sure that community grows, how does that also drive the success of Working Bike Chicago?
Yeah. Well, you're right. We have great organizations here that focus on advocacy. So Active Transportation Alliance is wonderful. Bike Grid Now, great. Ride Illinois, looking at the statewide picture. And having people who can focus on advocacy allows groups like Working Bikes to focus on the bike as a tool, or partners like Westtown Bikes, Blackstone, Bikes and Roses focus on youth who might be able to use the bicycles to develop leadership skills. So with this strong biking ecosystem of organizations, each one can focus on what they're good at. And when we spot areas for overlap, or if Working Bikes volunteers like would like to help get more bike lanes in the city, we can point them towards other groups that are focused on that. So we tend to see each other and share a lot of common interests. You know, I don't do advocacy myself, but I certainly appreciate protected bike lanes, feeling safer when I'm riding. We had a very sad week this last week with Riley O'Neill, a CDOT employee who Working Bikes worked with very closely. Wonderful, wonderful person, was killed when he was doored on Halsted. And there was a community ride that Bike Grid Now put together where a lot of folks in the cycling community came out to remember Riley. Probably had 300 people lying down on Halsted in his memory. So it's tragic that events like that still happen, but knowing that there is that broad community of support is really heartening, and we have room to improve. And when we all can get together, you know, it makes us think that it is possible to keep moving forward. So to your point, 15 years ago, there weren't really protected bike lanes around the city. And now on my commute, it's probably 80% concrete barrier or path. And it just feels so much safer. I have a few kids, and I'm happy to take my kids on a concrete bike lane. I wouldn't take them in open traffic. So being able to get others to enjoy the freedom and openness of cycling around the city and not feel like they're at risk of being hurt, I think is wonderful. And hopefully we can keep spreading that.
I always close with this question. And if you are listening right now, if you want to donate your bike, what can you do? If you want to volunteer, if you want to learn how to repair them in service of Working Bikes Chicago, where can you go? And also, if you need a bike through your organization, what can you do?
Thank you. All great questions. So the place to start, I think the most information for Working Bikes is at workingbikes.org. There's a tab there for volunteers where you can see our volunteer schedule, sign up for volunteer shifts. Everyone is welcome. Don't need any experience. Just wear some clothes you don't mind getting dirty. Shoes that, you know, could get scuffed up a little bit. Great to get involved, and we can use all the help we can get. To donate a bike, again, on our website, there's a tab for donate, and you can see our wonderful network of collection partners, a lot of bike shops that, as you said, get bikes. When people learn that it's going to cost $250 to repair that bike, you know, they're happy to make the donation.
I know that story well.
We're happy to put it to use. And then thank you for bringing up sales. So we're a sustainable organization ourselves because we're able to take about 14% of the bikes that are donated to us, fix them up with professional mechanics who we keep on staff, and then sell them at affordable prices from 2434 Southwestern. And those sales are the majority of our revenue that allows us to donate that other 85% of bikes. So you can come to our shop. We're open Wednesday through Friday, 11 to 7, Saturday, 10 to 6, and look at the bikes. There's probably 90 on the sales floor at any given time. In the winter, we populate a web store at store.workingbikes.org. Now it's probably best to go there in person. And if you want to support a great organization and ride away on a great bike, coming to Working Bikes to shop is a great way to do that.
Trevor Clark, Executive Director of Working Bikes Chicago, thank you for joining us this week on At Issue. If you want to hear the program again, you can do so at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and the iHeartRadio app. Join us next week for another edition of At Issue. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.